Daf Tazayin in Psachim. We're starting on Tezvav Amud Beis, and we are in the middle of the Amud. The story of today's Daf really begins back on Daf Yudalad, where on Daf Yudalad the Mishnah brought down the opinions of Rabbi Chanin, Zgan Kohanim, and Rabbi Akiva. As we know, the last Mishnah of the first parak of Psachim turned its attention to a halacha detail in Sreifas HaChametz, and that is that when we burn the Chametz, our intent to do is to destroy all chametz prior to Pesach, as chametz becomes also already on Erev Pesach and midday. Remeir has a shita that is brought down in the Mishnah on Daf Yudal, which is that when we're going to burn chametz, we're going to burn all chametz, including truma, and even truma that's tamei, I can burn together with truma that's tahora. Now that's a bit of a chiddush in that truma tahora, if I have truma that has no tumah, so there's a mitzvah in the Torah that I have to be shomer, that I have to be safeguard, I have to be a guardian of the truma. Once the truma is given to the kohen, even the truth of the matter is before the truma is given to the kohen, the truma has to be protected, it has to be in a state of shmira. And shmira simply means that I can't allow it to become tamei. And meanwhile, in the Mishnah, Rameir says, in Erev Pesach, what you can do is you can burn chametz together, even if the chametz is truma. Well, everyone agrees that you have to burn chametz, which is truma, on Erev Pesach. And even, the chiddush is that what I can even do is I can burn chametz, which is tamei, together with chametz that is tahor. That's the sheet of Rameir. Where did Rabbi Meir get that from? The simple pshat in the Mishnah is he got it from Rabbi Chanina Zgan HaKohanim. Rabbi Chanina Zgan HaKohanim quoted in the Mishnah says that what they used to do back in the Beis HaMikdash is that they would burn various basar kachim together, meats of a karban. Meat of a karban, one which touched an avatama together with one that touched a vladatama. Now the meat that touched an avatama, it itself is a Rishon, and meat that touched the Vladatuma, let's say it like the Gemara said it, the meat that touched a Vladatuma, let's say it touched a Sheni, so that meat is a Shlishi. So essentially what you're doing now is you're burning meats that are a Rishon and a Shlishi. The result will be, the meat that's a Shlishi is going to be elevated in Tuma from a Shlishi to a Sheni. And so what Rabbi Chanin has gotten the Kohanim taught us is that you're allowed to be Mosif ala Tuma, can add to Tuma. Rabbi Meir seems to make a leap, a jump, and that what Rabbi Meir says is that you're based on this position. Rabbi Chanin is going to go on, and I can burn trumas together. That's tamei with truma tahora. Now, obviously, as the Gemara pointed out, and the Gemara will point this out over the course of this entire discussion, the Gemara will continue making this point throughout the entire sugya, and that is, it doesn't seem to be a fair comparison. In the case of Rabbi Chanin, Skana Kohanim, the two meats are already tummy. One has a lower degree of tumma, and by burning them together, I'm just simply elevating and raising the level of tumma. I'm being most if all of tumma. But in the case of Rabbi Meir, I'm taking truma tahor and I'm burning it with truma tamea. And it does not seem to be a fair comparison, because there I'm not just being mosif ala tuma, but there I'm actually making something tame. And so the question that we asked, the Gemara asked back on Daf Yudalid and on Tezvav, is how does Rabbi Meir draw any comparison between his case of the burning of the truma with the cases of Rabbi Chanin Zgan HaKohanim and the burning of the Basar Kachim together? They are not comparable. So we already saw one position, one opinion, that is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Rabbi Meir is not based on our Mishnah, but rather Rabbi Meir is based on a Mishnah in Trumos, specifically as per the position of Rabbi Yehoshua, that you're allowed to be mitame Truma under certain circumstances. Good. But in the meantime, however, we are now going to go over the position of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to give a different approach. And Rabbi Yochanan's approach is that no, Rabbi Meir is actually learning it from Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim. And let's see this inside. I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan. We are on Tes Vav Amud Beis. We are in the middle of the Amud, and the Gemara now begins. Amar Avasi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Machlokes B'Sheish. The whole debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi and our Mishnah regarding the burning of Truma Tamei together with Truma Tahara is during the 6th hour of Erev Pesach. As we already learned, 6th hour of Erev Pesach, Chametz is Aser Midrabanan. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi debate as to whether or not you're allowed to burn Truma Tahara and Tamei during the 6th hour. But during the 7th hour, Divrei Al Kol Sof, and everyone agrees that you're allowed to burn. The reason being, as Rashi explains, is because during the 7th hour, Shuma Tahara is Aser Midya Araisa. The Torah says after midday that all chametz is to be destroyed. It is prohibited to eat chametz after midday. So therefore it's Aser Midya Araisa. So essentially what you're doing now is you're burning Shuma Tahara with Shuma Tahara. And although it's true the Shuma Tahara is going to become Tamei by being burned together with the Shuma Tamei, but nevertheless, since the Torah asks it, there is no longer a shimur requirement. There's no mitzvah anymore to safeguard the chumah, as the Torah already prohibited. In fact, if you could look at Rashi on the side of the Gemara, Rashi writes, Aval, Rashi divra maschah b'chukas b'sheish, Rashi writes, Aval b'sheva, but in the seventh hour, she'nesra kikar min ha-Torah, she'nesra kvar min ha-Torah, ein lecha tumma gedola mizu. You can't get any more tameh than that. Rashi does not mean that the chametz is actually tameh, the truma Torah is actually tameh. What Rashi means is that since the Torah asks it, so therefore there's simply no longer any mitzvah of shimur, and so therefore there is no problem burning the truma Torah with the truma tameh whatsoever. This is the opinion of Rav Yochanan, and this is how he understands our Mishnah. Amar Rav Zera l'Rav Asi, Neimah k'zera Rav Yochanan masisa ba'av tuma d'raisa v'lad tuma d'rabanan, umay medivrei medivrei Rabbi Chanina sgana kohanim. So does that mean that according to Rav Yochanan, the way that he understands our Mishnah is that Rav Meir is drawing his conclusion based on the position of Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina is speaking about a case specifically where the meat that touched the Navatoma is Tamei Mida Araisa. The meat that touched the Vlada Toma is not Tamei Mida Araisa, but rather Tamei Mida Rabbanan. How can that be? Rashi gives a number of different scenarios in terms of how exactly that could be. But in other words, the meat that's Tamei Mida Rabbanan, the meat that touched the Vlad, is only Tuma D'Rabbanan, not Tuma D'Araisa, and that means then that on a Torah level, what I'm doing is I'm burning Basar Tahora, or I should say Basar Tahor, with Basar Tameh. And so, and Rabbi Chanina's kind of calling him, says that's fine. Why? Because the Basar Tahor min haTorah is Tameh mid'Rabbanan. And what the Gemara is doing now is drawing the following parallel. Same thing is true regarding chametz during the sixth hour. When I'm burning Truma Tahora with Truma Tameah during the sixth hour, although the Truma Tahora is Tahora Midaraisa, but Aser Midarabanan. So essentially, the Iser Darabanan removes the requirement of Shimur and allows me to burn the Truma Tameah with the Truma Tahora during the sixth hour, since there's an Iser Darabanan on the Truma Tahora, just like in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Chanina allows you to burn Basar Tameah with Basar Tahora because the Basar Tahora is Tamei Midrabanan. Is that how Rabbi Meir is working? And the Gemara gives a very simple one-word answer, in. That is correct. That's exactly the thought process of Rabbi Yochanan. Eid manami am Rabbi Yochanan masli samavet tuma d'raisa v'lad tuma d'rabanan. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan saying it himself, that our Mishnah is talking about where the two meats that are being burnt together, one is tamei on a d'raisa level, the other is tamei on the rabban level. My midivrei, midivrei Rabbi Chanina sgana kohanim. And when it says midivreihim, it means from the position of Rabbi Chanina sgana kohanim, u'machlokas b'sheisha. The whole debate in our Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is during the sixth hour. Ava b'sheva divrei kol sorfim, but during the seventh hour, according to everybody, you are allowed to be so rafe. You can burn them together, again, for the reason being that at the seventh hour, the Truma Tahora now is Aser Min HaTorah, and because it's Aser Min HaTorah, therefore there is no longer a mitzvah of Shimur. Lema Messiah, Lema, the Gemara now is going to make attempts to prove this position of Rav Yochanan, that once something becomes Aser Min HaTorah, not even Tamei Min HaTorah, but Aser Min HaTorah, there's no longer a requirement of Shimur, and therefore you could be Mitame it even with your hands. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah. This is the end of a Tosefta that we actually saw on the top of this very Amud. If I have three different karbanos that are all disqualified, the first karbon is disqualified through Pigal, the second one is disqualified through Noser, and the third is through Tameh. Various disqualifications of a karbon. The tamei obviously is its disqualification is that it's buster, which is tamei, which as we know cannot be offered as a karbon. The pigol and oser pigol's chutzas mana, where the kohen when he did one of the avodas considered eating the karbon outside a lot of time. Nosar is any karbon where after the animal has gone through the avodas and the blood has been nizrak al hamizbeach, what happens is that the the every carbon only has a certain time in which it can be eaten. After that point in time, it is considered leftover. So I have these all these types of carbonates which are disqualified. Beis Shammai Omrim Nisraf and Ka'achas. So Beis Shammai says they can't burn them together. Beis Hillel Omrim Nisraf and Ka'achas. And Beis Hillel says they can be burned together. We're going to be focusing on the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says they can be burned together. Why can they be burned together? Meaning, isn't what's going to happen that the meat which is tamei is going to end up being metamei, the pigle and the nosar? And meanwhile, Beis Hillel says I can burn them together. And why can I burn them together? So again, ostensibly the explanation is exactly as what Rav Yochanan laid down for us, is that once something becomes asur min haTorah, so therefore there's no longer a requirement of shimur, which would then allow me to burn them together. Isn't that what's going on over here? And wouldn't that be an excellent support for Rav Yochanan? Hasan disu tumim b'derabanan. The Gemara says no, because it's not a good support, because not only is pigle asur min haTorah, it's tamei midrabanan. Not only is nosar asur min haTorah, it's tamei midrabanan. The Mishnah is later on in our Masechta are going to teach us that there is a din tumah derabanan on pigle and on nosar. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi goes on to explain the reason why that is because the Chachamim wanted to make sure that the Kohanim would not let pigle and nosar sit around, and so by giving it a status of tumah, it's going to motivate the Kohanim to quickly dispose of pigle and of nosar. Now we learn to the Mishnah, pigle and nosar, matamim esayadayim. He gives Tumas Yadayim. Tumas Yadayim, of course, is a code word for saying that it's Tamei Midrabanan. As anyone who touches it, his hands will become Tamei. So again, so it's not a good raya, because what we're looking for is a source that shows us that once something is Aser Min HaTorah, so therefore there's no longer a mitzvah of Shimur. Here, in the case of Pigel Nosar, it's not just Aser Min HaTorah, it's Aser Min HaTorah plus there's a Tumah Midrabanan, so that's not a good support. The Gemara suggests, Lema Masayele, how about the following, which seems to be an excellent support for Rav Yochanan, Pasha Ifsha, V'nifso La Milech La'adam, V'akel V'yechol La'achol. Let's say I have bread that at one point in time was edible by humans and then started to spoil. And now it got to the point where it's no longer edible by humans. A dog could still eat it. There's still a requirement to destroy it on Erev Pesach. The Braisa says that I could take such a loaf of bread and burn it together with Tameya. I can be Metameid bePesach on Pesach. I assume that when the Braisa says Pesach, it doesn't mean actually on Pesach itself, it means on Erev Pesach. And again, what the idea is that I have bread, and again, we're going to assume it's during the sixth hour, and I can be Metameid this bread. Why can I be Metameid this bread? Because it's no longer edible. And essentially, the Gemara is using this as a support for Rav Yochanan by saying that just like when something is Asur Min haTorah, and I can't eat it because the Torah asks it, there's no longer a requirement of Shimur, so too over here, once this bread becomes physically inedible, it's tantamount to being Asur Min haTorah, and that's why there's no longer a requirement of Shimur. So the Gemara now is of the position that this would be supportive of Yochanan. Shani Asam Da'afra Ba'amahu. The Gemara says not to be compared. Why? In the case where the Torah asur something, so there, it's physically edible, it just happens to be the Torah says they're not allowed to eat it. It's the Torah itself prohibiting the item, but the item is still physically fit. In our case over here, regarding the bread that spoils on Erev Pesach, the reason why there's no longer a mitzvah of Shimur is not because the Torah asks it, but for the very practical reason that it's just simply no longer edible. And because it's no longer edible, there's no longer a mitzvah of Shimur. Shimur is only for foods that are still edible, so it's not comparable to Rav Yochanan's position. The Gemara has yet to find a support for Rav Yochanan, but still Rav Yochanan's position is that once something becomes Asur Min haTorah, there's no longer a mitzvah of Shimur, and everybody would agree, both Rav Yossi and Rav Meir of our Mishnah would agree, that I would be allowed to take chametz on Erev Pesach after midday, meaning during the seventh hour, and Truma Tahor and Truma Tamea, and burn the two together. And again, the reason why is that even though, generally speaking, there's a mitzvah of Shimur, and I'm not allowed to be Metame Truma Tahora, that's only if it's edible and mutter. once the Torah answers it, so therefore it's no longer edible, and therefore there's no longer a mitzvah of Shimur. What is subject to a debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is what if the Isser is only an Isser Darabanan, meaning during the 6 hour of the day. Rabbi Meir says an Isser Darabanan also makes it prohibited, and therefore you can burn Truma Temeah with Truma Tahar during the 6 hour, since the Truma Tahar is also Mid Rabbanan, so therefore there's no longer a mitzvah of Shimur. Whereas Rav Yossi says, no, an Isser de Rabbanan would not make it, would not allow us to just simply be Mitamet. There would still be a mitzvah of Shimur, even if it's Asr Mid Rabbanan. E Hachi, the Gemara now comments that if this is so, my moda, ka'amale Rav Yossi l'Rav Meir, afilu l'Rav Yossi demekel ki mekel betluy v'tamea, aval betara tamea lo. So the Gemara says, now we get to understand the next point in the Mishnah, which is that what does Rav Yossi say to Rabbi Meir? Look, I'm going to show you an opinion within the Shita of Rav Yoshua, and Rav Yoshua, who is lenient, who allows Truma that is possibly Tamei to be burnt together with Truma that's Tamea, but even Rav Yoshua, who's Mekel, only allows Tamea to be burnt with Teluya. But what Rav Yoshua does not allow is Tamea to be burnt with Torah. So in other words, it's not, Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Yeshua's Mekel is not going to be Mekel to your degree. But the Gemara notes, but I don't understand, based on what the way we set up Rabbi Meir seems to be making a very fair comparison. Meaning again, let's go with the approach of Rabbi Yochanan. Where Rabbi Chanina's Ganakonim is talking about a case where I'm burning meats together. One meat is Tamei Midoraisi, the other meat is Tamei Midorabanan. But on a Torah level, it's Tuma and Tahara. So the Torah says you're allowed to burn them together. What Rabbi Meir is saying is on Erev Pesach, during the 6 hour, it's essentially the same. Where I'm allowed to burn together Chametz, Trumas Chametz, which is Tahara, with Trumas Chametz, that's Tamea. Now, obviously, they're not exactly the same, but during the 6 hour, what becomes of all chametz? It's aser midrabanan. So essentially, now what I have is iser. Granted that it's aser midrabanan, but it's iser. So just like in the case of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, where he allows basar tahor to be burnt with basar tamea because the basar tahor is tamei midrabanan. Well, isn't that going to be basically the same thing over here, where in the case of Trumas Chametz and Erev Pesach, I can burn the two together because the Truma Tahara is Aser Midrabanan. So the Gemara says, Mida u Mida hi, aren't they comparable? Doesn't Rav Meir have at least grounds to stand on? I'm Rav Yirmiyah. So now the Gemara is going to change the direction of the approach in terms of how we're going to understand the debate between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And from this point going forward now in the Gemara, we're going to launch into a new discussion in Tumat Tahara. Up until now, we thought that we were debating a question of whether or not the meats are Tamei Tahara, and whether or not we could translate that to the Chametz, which is Tamei Tahara. The Gemara says, at this point going forward, let's suggest a new approach altogether. And that is the following. Amar Rav Yirmiya Hachabe Basar Shinitma B'Mashkin Shinitmu Machmas Sheretz V'Az Rav Meir L'Tamei V'Rav Yossi L'Tamei. So the Gemara suggests now, in the name of Rav Yirmiya, here's really what is at the core of the debate between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. The case in question over here of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim is a very specific case, and specifically it's what happened. Now the meat that touched the Avatama, obviously it's Tamei Midoraisa. Okay. It's a Rishon. It's Tamei Midoraisa. Not much to speak about over there. The other piece of meat, however, how did that other piece of meat become tummy? So from our Mishnah, all we know is that the second piece of meat becomes tummy because it touched the blood. What exactly happened over there? So the Gemara explains it happened in the following sequence. The second piece of meat touched mashke, liquid. The liquid, how did the liquid become tummy? Through a sheretz. So in other words, the sheretz, which is obviously an av, touches liquid, which is a Rishon, which then in turn touched the meat, which would be a sheni. So far, so good. Now, not to get too technical right now, but Rashi notes that we learned back on the Gemara in Daf Yudalid that for the second piece of meat to be a sheni is not helpful in the context of the Mishnah, because the whole point of the Mishnah is that we're going to be mosif al tuma, so we need one piece of meat to be a rishon and the next piece of meat to be a shlishi. So our Gemara over here has one piece of meat being a rishon, the other piece of meat being a sheni, and the Gemara back on Daf Yudalit says that's not helpful to our discussion, and Rashi just simply says over here, right on the spot, that it's right now the Gemara is just trying to make a point regarding Tumas Mashkin, and Rashi says don't get caught up in the detail that the second piece of meat is a sheni. One can simply say that the second piece of meat is a shlishi, but we're going to make a larger point regarding Tumas Mashkin, and that is the following. So again, let's go over the case. The sherets touched the liquid and the liquid touched the meat. Rav Meir is of the position that liquids are metame other foods, but only on a derabanan level. Rav Yossi l'tame d'amar tumas mashkin l'tame achirim d'araisa. And Rav Yossi says that liquids are metame other foods on a d'araisa level. In other words, what comes out over here is that the debate between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi turns into a tuma debate, and more specifically, a very fundamental question in terms of when liquids become tamei, could they then in turn be metamei something else? As we will see through the psukim, it is open for a debate in terms of whether or not liquids can be metamei other foods. In fact, as we're going to see later on in the daf, there's going to be an opinion that goes so far to say that liquids don't become tamei at all. But that's ahead of ourselves right now. In other words, right now what the Gemara is suggesting is this is the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. So let's just now quickly recap. According to Rav Meir, liquids become tamei, but liquids do not transmit the tumah to anything else. On a Torah level, only on a rabbinic level. So now, the second piece of meat, on what degree is it tamei? So, according to Rav Meir, it's tamei on a derabbanan level. Because what happened was is that the second piece of meat touched liquid, which in turn touched a sheretz. So that means then that the sheretz made the liquid tamei, but the liquid did not make the meat tamei on a d'oraisa level, only on a d'rabbanan level. Now that that's the case, now what Rav Meir says is eureka, perfect. Meaning because now what you see is that on a Torah level, I have tumah and tahara being burnt together. So Rav Meir says, same thing by me. I have trumas chametz tahara being burnt with trumas chametz tamea. It is a parallel scenario, and so Rav Meir would say, perfect. It's a perfect analogy. And Rav Yossi, what's his argument? His argument is a fundamental argument, where he says, look, I'm looking at the same case you are, but I'm arriving at a different conclusion. My conclusion is that when the sheretz touches the mashke is a rishon, and the mashke touches the meat is a sheni on a d'oraisa level. Not on a derabbanan level, on a d'oraisa level. So when Rabbi Chanina says that you're allowed to burn the meats together, what we're burning is tumah d'oraisa together with tumah d'oraisa. Granted, you're raising the level of tumah, but at least they're starting off both being tumah d'oraisa. So therefore, Rav Yossi says to Rav Meir, your conclusion therefore is a flawed conclusion. You're then telling me that you're allowed to burn tumah tahor and tumah tamei on Erev Pesach. You can't learn that from Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina, all he's allowing you to do is burn Truma Tamei, I'm sorry, Basar Tamei together with Basar Tamei. So it's not a parallel scenario. And so this is the basic machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, and now the Gemara is going to engage in a lengthy discussion. It will cover the rest of today's daf in terms of whether Mashke will be Metame other foods. The Italian, the Gemara quotes here a Braisa. It's a Tosefta. Rashi says it's a Tosefta in the fifth parak of Taharos. There's a Mishnah in Taharos very similar. You can take a look on the side of the Gemara. But in the meantime, it goes like this. Safik Mashkin. We're on the very top of Tezainim and Aleph, first line. Safik Mashkin. Litame tamei. L'tamei acherim tahur, divrei Rabbi Meir. If let's say I have a suffix regarding mashke, there are two different sfeikos. The first suffix is suffix mashken litame, meaning I have something which is tame. Let's say sheretz came in close to a liquid, may or may not have touched the liquid. We don't know. It's a suffix. What's the conclusion? Says the Mishnah in Taharos, that liquid is going to become tame. Why? Because this is a suffix d'areisa, meaning liquids becoming tame is a d'areisa concept. So the fact that there may have possibly been contact, that's a d'oraisa concept. What do we say regarding safek tuma, safek d'oraisa? Safek d'oraisa l'chumra. Now, it's true that by tuma, the rules get a little bit more intricate. It depends whether it occurs in a Rosh Hashanah versus a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. For the purpose of this discussion, let's assume that the safek we're discussing right now took place in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. In fact, Rashi, at a later point in time, says so. So let's assume that is in fact so. So in other words, for the liquid, if it's a suffix, whether the liquid came into contact with tuma, that's a suffix d'araisa. Therefore, the liquids are tame. However, litame acherim. But let's say the liquids themselves are for sure tame. We know that to be so. And then the liquid came into contact with another food, but we're not sure if there was actual contact. It possibly was contact. We don't know. It's a suffix. So now the suffix here is, we know the liquid was tame, and we want to now know, did the liquid touch another food and transmit the tumah to another food? We're not sure if there was actual contact. There, what does the Mishnah say? Tahor. The halacha is that food is going to be tahor. Why? Because the issue of liquids transmitting tumah to another food, that is only a din derabanan, not a din d'araisa. Therefore, it's a safek din derabanan. What do we say? Safek derabanan? Lekula. So now what we have is, this is all Shitas Rav Meir. In fact, the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, Divrei Rav Meir, this is the opinion of Rav Meir. So what we get from over here is consistency within Rav Meir. Rav Meir says regarding a mashke could be mekabel tumah min haTorah, but then to be mitame something else, that's only a din derabanan, not a din d'araisa. V'chena Rebbe Elazar Amar Kidva Rav, and Rebbe Elazar agrees with Rabbi Meir. So Kipshuta, what we have in our Tosefta, is that this is not just Shitas Rabbi Meir, but it's also Shitas Rebbe Elazar as well. We'll see in the Gemara, maybe Rebbe Elazar doesn't totally agree with Rabbi Meir, but that will be coming up later on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lakol tameh. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that it's always going to become tameh, meaning, as Rashi explains, even on both sfeikos, on the suffix of the mashke touching tumah, or the tame mashke touching something else. On both sides, it's going to become tame, because Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that mashke is both mitame, it becomes tame, and is mitame, and is mitame something else, on a da'araisa level. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim, la'ochim tameim, la'kelim tahorim. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say that if it's a food in question, meaning if the mashke touched another food, the food is going to become tameh. And even if it's a suffix whether the mashke touched another food, the food's going to become tameh. However, if the mashke touched the kli will be tahor. Okay. What we got from this Tosefta in Taharos is the shitas we were looking for. We were looking for Reb Meir, who says that mashke is mitameh, it becomes tameh on a daraisa level, but in terms of being mitameh something else, it's only on a derabanan level. And we also saw in this Tosefta the opinion of Rav Yossi, who says that mashke is both mitameh, it becomes tameh, and is mitameh, and is mitameh others on a daraisa level. So what we saw from this Tosefta is perfect. We saw consistency, and therefore that really reflects the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi in our Mishnah back on Daf Yudalid, where now they can look at Rabbi Hanina's Kana Kohanim, and they're going to draw two different conclusions. Just quickly to recap, what Rav Meir is going to see Rabbi Hanina's Kana Kohanim, and he's going to say, perfect. Because what happened was the first piece of meat touched an Av, that's Tamei Min haTorah. The second piece of meat, what did it touch? It touched the Mashke, which in turn touched the Sheretz. It's only Tamei on a Derabanan level, because Mashke is not Mitame others Min haTorah, only Midrabanan. And therefore, what Rabbi Hanina is allowing you to do is burn on a Torah level, Tuma Tahara. Good. So on Erev Pesach, you're allowed to burn Shuma Tahara, Shuma Tameya. That's all Shitas Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't do that. Why? Because he fundamentally disagrees with Rabbi Meir. He believes that Mashke is Metame other foods on a Daraisa level. And so what comes out now is that, in Rabbi Hanina's case, the meat that touched the Nav is obviously Tamei Min Daraisa. The meat that touched the Mashke, which touched the Sheretz, is also Tamei Min HaTorah. So all Rabbi Hanina's Kana Kohanim is allowing you to do is burn Tuma together with Tuma, but not Tuma together with Tahara. Ad Khan, that now takes us to the basic point, and this all is the presentation of Rabbi Yirmiyah in terms of how he understands the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara, as long as we quoted this mission to Haris now, the Gemara is going to iron some of the finer points in this Tosefta. So first of all, Rav Elazar really does believe that there is Tumas Mashke at all. In fact, we have another Braisa that says that according to Rav Elazar, there is no Tumas Mashken at all. Now, at all seems to indicate on both ends, both on the receiving end and on transmitting Tumas to something else. Teda, Sharei, Hei, Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Sreida. In fact, there was testimony given by Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer, one of the first of the Zugos, an early Tana. So he says, Al Ayel Kamsa Dachain, a particular grasshopper is kosher to eat. Al Mashken Beis Mitbechaya Dachain. And on liquids that are in the Beis HaMikdash, Mashken Beis mit bechaya, that it's dachain, that it is tahor. Now, that is a, first of all, this is a mission adios. Secondly, what you get from over here is that according to Yossi ben Yoezer, it sounds, the simple pshat is that mashke is not tame at all. Meaning it doesn't receive tuma, and it doesn't transmit tuma to something else. It's not mitame, and it's not mitame. Now, seems to be now we're somewhat at an impasse because Rav Elazar says that mashke is not tame at all. And what the problem is that in the Tosefta that we quote on the top of the Amud, it says that Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Meir. Well, Rabbi Meir says that Mashke is mitame, it's just not mitame. It receives tuma, it doesn't transmit tuma, so we seem to be at somewhat of an impasse. Now the Gemara notes there are two ways to understand Yossi ben Yoezer. It's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, exactly how to understand Yossi ben Yoezer. So Shmuel says that what Yossi ben Yoezer only means is that the mashke is not mitame others, but it itself becomes tame, so we really don't have a problem at all. In fact, it's perfect. It comes out now that Yossi ben Yoezer, together with Rabbi Elazar, totally agrees with Rabbi Meir, and we have no problem whatsoever. But according to Rav, who says that what Yossi ben Yoezer meant is that mashke is not tame at all, meaning it doesn't become tame, nor does it transmit tuma, and we know that Rav Elazar agrees with him, with Yossi ben Yoezer, so now we're at an impasse, because on one hand, Rav Elazar and the Tosefta on the top of the Amud says that he agrees with Rav Meir, when Rav Meir says that Mashke is mitame min haTorah, just not mitame. It receives tuma, but it doesn't transmit tuma to others. And meanwhile, Rav Elazar says, I also agree with Yossi ben Yoezer, which according to Rav, Yossi ben Yoezer says, Mashke is not tame at all. Not on the receiving end, not on the transmission end. Amrav Nachma Yitzhak Achada. So the Gemara attempts to give an answer. Well, maybe what Rav Elazar just simply meant is, I agree with Rav Meir on one of his points. Not all of his points, but on one of his points. Vahakid Varav Kamar. Gemara says it's very difficult because Rav Elazar says, Kidvarav, I agree with his words, plural, denefishi, in other words, more than just one of his words, all of his words, va'od, v'ha, v'chein, and not only that, but when Rav Elazar was introduced in that Tosefta on the top of the Amud, it says the words v'chein, kasher, the Gemara notes, you're right. That's difficult, and so therefore we don't have a precise understanding of Rav Elazar. It seems that we have a difficulty within the sheet of Rav Elazar. The Gemara ends off with the words kasha. As we know, kasha just simply means it's difficult but not impossible. Gufa. Now, as long as we quoted this Mishnah in Adios regarding the opinion of Yossi ben Yoezer, who says that all liquids in the Beis HaMikdash are dachain, they're tahor, and now we're going to go back to this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in terms of how to properly understand the statement of Yossi ben Yoezer. Gufa Rav Amar Dachin Mamash. Rav is of the opinion that Mashke is not Tame at all, neither receiving nor transmitting. Shmuel Amar Dachin La Tame Tumas Acherim, Ava Tumas Atman Yesh Lahen. Shmuel says, no, that's not what Yossi ben Yoezer means. All he means is that it's not it does not transmit tumah, but it becomes tumah min haTorah. Rav Amar Dachei Mamashka Sefer Tumas Mashkin De Rabban V'Chigaz Rabban Med Mashkin Dama Uve Mashkin Beis Mitbechaya Lo Gazer. The Gemara just simply clarifies. Look, on a derabbanan level, everybody agrees that mashka is mekabel tuma, mashka transmits tuma. But that's on a derabbanan level. But min haTorah, it's not tame at all. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they rely on the din d'araisa, which is that it's not tame at all. Ushmul amar dachim la tame tumas acherim avat tumas atzman yesh lahen. Kasev tumas mashka natzman d'araisa la tame acherim derabbanan. I'm sorry, la tame acherim derabbanan v'chigaz derabbanan b'mashkan d'ama b'mashkan beis mitbachaya lo gazur. And then, according to Shmuel, the din d'araisa says that it's mekabel tuma, liquids are mekabel tuma. It does not transmit tuma to others min haTorah. It does transmit tuma to others mid derabbanan. But once we're in the Beis HaMikdash, we go back to the din d'araisa, and therefore it's only mekabel tuma, but it does not transmit tuma to others. V'chilogaz derabbanan l'tmoy acherim aval tumas atzman yesh lahem. Good. Ad kan divrei Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara just simply recaps for us the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel in terms of how to understand Yossi ben Yoezer. Amalei Revuna bar Chinna lebrei ki alita lekamet Rav Papa. Do me a big favor. The next time you go to Rav Papa, Ramilei Mar Amar Shmuel dachim latamet tumas acher nala tumas atzman yesh lehem. So on one hand, the shita of Shmuel is that the way he understands Yossi ben Yoezer is that it is mitame, liquids are mitame, they become tame, but they're not mitame acherim. Kari kan v'habasar asher yiga bichol tame lo yochal. On the other hand, however, the pasuk says that basar that touches any tame, a kohen is not allowed to eat. And the problem is, how can that possibly be? Meaning, as Rashi explains, unehi the mashkin lo mitamu ochlin dechulin miu gabe kashem asher yiga bechol tamei ksiv v'kevin damar mashkin mitamu midaraisa latzman basar kodesh hanogea behem harei naga betamei. I don't understand. Meat coming into contact with mashke is seemingly from the pasuk is going to be tame. And if the pasuk is talking about it, obviously that means that the meat is going to be tame on a daraisa level. So what are you going to do with the pasuk? I'm Rav Shisha Brei Ravi Di Meat Dehavei Ravi Bekodesh. So the Gemara says, well, perhaps what it means is that it becomes tame, but does not transmit the tumah to something else. So maskev la Rav Ashi Revi because lo yikra tamei, ha yikra tamei. The Gemara notes, okay, but that's very difficult because generally speaking, when we talk about something becoming tamei, but having the inability to transmit the tumah to something else, we don't use the word tumah. Typically, the word we use is the word pasal. And even in the Torah, when the Torah uses the word tamei, generally speaking, the understanding is tamei means that it is tamei with the ability to transmit the tumah to something else. Kasha, the Gemara notes, that is difficult, and it would be difficult in terms of what Shmuel would do with that pasuk. The Gemara continues, Tashma v'chomashka asher yishasa b'chol kli yitma. Okay. And here really becomes one of the basic issues. It comes out now that we are we are spending a significant amount of time going over the opinions of a number of Tanayim who say that mashka there is less tumah when it comes to liquids. According to some Tanayim, there is no tumah when it comes to mashka. That seemingly is the opinion of Yossi ben Yoezer, as explained by Rav. It seemingly is no. Let's leave it like that. According to Yosef ben Yoezer, as explained by Rav, there simply is no tumah when it comes to a mashke. And according to a host of other Tanayim, Rabbi Meir, presumably Rav Elazar, the tumas mashkin is mashke receives tumah, but it's not mitame others. It's not mitame others. Meanwhile, however, the Torah seems to take a pretty clear stand in terms of tumas mashkin. In fact, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Tashma v'chol mashke asher yishaseh v'chol kli yitma. The Torah says that if I have a liquid in the kli, and the kli is tameh, so the liquid is tameh. And again, the word tameh seems to indicate that not only does it receive tumah, but it also transmits tumah to others. What we have now is a very basic question. How can anyone argue that mashke is not tameh? And this question certainly is strongest against the shita of Rav, the way he understands Yossi ben Yoezer, that Mashke is not Tamei at all, when meanwhile it seems that I have it, the Farish Pasuk in Chumash that says that Mashke is susceptible to Tumah. So, Mayitma Hichshir. So the Gemara suggests an answer that in this Pasuk, when the Torah says the words Yitma, it means Hichshir. It means liquid serves as a Machshir. We know, we've seen this time and again, that for any food to become tummy, to become susceptible to tumma, it first has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids. And what the pasuk over here is telling us is that when the Torah says that there is mashke in the kli, it doesn't mean the mashke itself is going to become tummy, because according to Yossi ben Yoezer, mashke cannot become tummy. It just simply means that there's food in the kli, and in order for the food to become tummy, it needs the mashke as a machshir. Yitma in this context means preparing something else to become tameh. So the Gemara says, go to the pasuk. And if you see the pasuk inside, look at the beginning pasuk. We call ocher she yachel, and the Torah goes on to describe how if liquid comes into contact with the seed now is mukshel kabel tuma. So I already understand the idea of machshirin from the beginning of the pasuk. So now you want to tell me that the end of the pasuk, where the simple pshat of the pasuk is that mashke is subject to tuma, and now you want to tell me that the pshat in the pasuk is that not only that's not what the pasuk is talking about, but rather mashke serves as a machshir. Machshir was already introduced to us in the beginning of the pasuk. The Gemara suggests chad betulushim v'chad b'mechubarim. Well, what we can argue is that the idea of machshir, that liquid will now make a food susceptible to tuma, is both when the liquid is connected to the ground and even if the liquid is no longer connected to the ground. This is what's called tlushin versus mechubarim. Now, as Rashi points out over here, we're not talking about every one of the seven liquids with it, which is a machshir, because this distinction of something in the ground versus something that is disconnected from the ground, let's take blood for an example. Blood, what does that mean, blood connected to the ground? Blood emanates from an animal. So in other words, blood by its very nature is talush, meaning it's disconnected from the ground, as blood is in the animal. So this distinction that the Gemara is giving us regarding tlushin versus mechubarim is specific to water. And the idea that water would serve as a machshir, both when it's connected to the ground and whether it's detached from the ground, I need two psukim, or two different parts of the pasuk, to teach me both elements. Chad betlushim v'chad b'mechubarim utzricha. And the Gemara notes that there's a necessity for the Torah to tell me both. Why? Because when it comes to talosh, so in other words, I deliberately remove the water from the ground. Therefore, that water to me now is significant. It's chashuv. So I understand how that liquid can serve as a machshir. Aval mechubarim, but if the water's still on the ground, it means I didn't do anything to the water. I didn't manipulate the water at all. One could make the argument that since I didn't do anything to the water and all the water is doing is just simply running its natural course, so one could make the argument that such water is not a machshir, so that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that if it's mechubar, it's a machshir. And so, aval mechubarim me'malov, itan mechubarim. Now, if the Torah only would have mentioned it once, the argument could go the other way. That machshir is only water that's in ground, not water that's detached from the ground. Mishum dekaimi beduchtayu chashive. Water in ground is where water is in its natural state. And the Gemara says that's significant, that's chashav. Avat lushim, but if the water is detached from the ground, imalo. I might have thought that the water once detached from the ground is not as chashav, it's not as natural, it's not as pristine. So therefore, the pasuk has to go out of its way to tell me that water will serve as a machshir, both when it's connected to the ground and when it's detached from the ground as well, tzricha, and that's why I need both parts of the pasuk. So, in quick summation, the opinion of Yossi ben Yoezer that water is not, I'm sorry, mashke, all liquids are not tamei at all. It neither receives tumah nor does it transmit tumah. What are you going to do with that pasuk that we just quoted of v'chol mashke sheishasa b'chol kli yitma? What are you going to do with that pasuk? So the Gemara suggests as an answer, that pasuk does not telling us that mashke is tamei, but rather mashke over there in that pasuk is serving as a machshir. And the word tamei just simply means it'll make other foods now susceptible to tumah. The Gemara continues,
Tashma. Ach mayanu bor mikvah mayim yet tahor.
So if I have a wellspring or a mikvah mayim, so it will be tahor. May yet tahor min tumaso. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Tahor means just simply from tumah, meaning if I insert something which was tumah into a mikvah, not only does the object itself, not only does the water serve as a way of being matayr, but the water itself totally becomes impervious to becoming tumah. That's all the pasuk means. It doesn't mean that the water itself is subject to tumah. It just simply means that it's totally impervious to tumah. It will not become tumah at all. Utlushin mi machshirin. The Gemara just now wants wonders out loud. We said just a moment ago in the Gemara that once the water is detached, it does serve as a machshir. The Gemara says, is that true? V'amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, mashken beis mitbachaya lo dain shein dachein ela shein machshirin. So the Gemara quotes a statement by Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, that liquids in the Azara, not only are they not subject to Tum and Tahara, but they're also not a machshir. So Tirgama Aldam. So the Gemara notes, yeah, but that's not talking about water, that's talking about blood. We know that the blood of a carbon does not serve as a machshir. How do we know that? Shein machshir shenema ala artish bechenu kamayim. Dam shenishbach kamayim machshir. Dam sheino nishbach kamayim eino machshir. So the Gemara says that as a gzeres akasov, only blood that is going to be spilled on the ground like water, only that's going to be a machshir. We know that any carbon, the blood is not to be spilled on the ground. In fact, the primary purpose of a carbon is to shech the animal and to collect the first bloods that come out of the animal into a bowl and to sprinkle that blood on the mizbech. Because the Torah's intent is for that blood to be collected and not to be spilled on the ground, therefore, it's not dam kimayim, and therefore, it's not going to be a machshir. So, maskal v'rosh mo'abar ami harei damatamsis d'nishpach kamayim v'ino machshir. The Gemara says, what about damatamsis? Blood that remains in the animal, that could be squeezed out of the animal. That blood does not need to be collected in the bowl. And meanwhile, we know that that blood is not a machshir. And essentially, the Gemara's question is, well, why not? Why can't it be viewed as a machshir? Amalei Rabbi Zera, hanach l'damatamsis d'afil b'chul enamil machshir. So, the Gemara says, yeah, but that's for a different reason. That's because Dama Tamsis does not have the status of Dam. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi writes, Dama Tamsis ain't a royal Zrika. It's not fit for Zrika. Not that Rashi. Let's go back to the Gemara. Da'afila b'chula namila machshir. Dama Tamsis blood that needs to be squeezed out of an animal is not going to be a machshir, and that's not a kachim halacha. That's true by all animals. Kibbalim minei Rav Shmuel Barami damer Rachman. In fact, Rav Shmuel Barami, when he hears such an answer, he totally acknowledges and accepts that this is the correct answer. The pasuk says Rachazak levilti echol hadam ki adam hu hanefesh. The Torah says that you cannot eat blood because blood is nefesh. Dam sha nefesh yotzei bo kari dam. Dam sheino nefesh yotzei bo ina kari dam. Dam has a very specific definition. The definition of blood means blood that takes out the life force of an animal. That's the bloods that come out after you shech the animal. But any remaining bloods in the animal, that's not considered dam nefesh, therefore it's not considered dam. Because it's not considered dam, therefore it's not a machshir. So in other words, let's quickly recap. The blood of a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, where I shech the animal and that first blood that comes out, that is dam nefesh, but that won't be a machshir. Why? Because one of the criteria for blood to be a machshir is that it's be nishbach l'aretz kamayim, because this blood is collected in the bowl, so therefore this dam is not a machshir. Another point is that in general, any blood that doesn't come out of the animal when the animal dies, but is just simply remaining inside the body of the animal, that blood also is not going to be considered a machshir, but for a different reason, and that is simply because that's not considered dam. Dam, by its very definition, is dam hanefesh. This is not dam hanefesh, therefore it's not dam, and therefore it is not going to be considered a machshir. Okay. Quickly, we're going to pause over here, we're going to stop over here, but quickly to wrap up, basically now, what the Gemara has been arguing is that mashka is possibly not subject to tumah like ochel. Ochel, of course, is subject to tumah, where ochel is both subject to becoming tameh, it's mitameh, and it's also metameh.
Mashka, on the other hand, major machlokas amongst the Tanaim, exactly what the status of Tumas Mashkin is. Quickly to review, we saw the opinion of Rameir. Rameir says that Mashka is mitame, it becomes tame, but it's not mitame others, midaraisa. Midarabbanan is mitame others, but midaraisa is not mitame others. That is the shita of Rabbi Meir. The shita of Rav Yossi is that Mashka is mitame and mitame. It both receives tumah and transmits tumah to others. That is shita's Rav Yossi. We will spend tomorrow discussing the shita of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, who make a distinction between food versus kalim. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And then the Gemara goes on to present the opinion of Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer and Kipshuto Rav Elazar agrees with Yossi ben Yoezer, is that Mashke is not tame at all. It's not mitame and it's not mitame. So according to Yossi ben Yoezer, in the Beis HaMikdash, where they don't generally apply the Dinei Derabanan, so therefore all liquids in the Beis HaMikdash are not tamei bichlal. Liquids are not receiving tumah, and liquids are not going to be transmitting tumah to anything else. That is Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer. Granted that Shmuel disagrees with Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer, but that is Rav's understanding. And basically, what the Gemara then went from that point forward for the remainder of today, Daf Tazayin Psachim, is challenging Rav's position. It seems to be that we have a number of psukim that indicate that Mashke is at least mitame, becomes tame, and the Gemara defended Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer, and it is possible to suggest that Mashke is not tame at all. Okay, we'll pause over here, and we will pick up Tashma in the middle of Tazayin Amud Beis when we start Daf Yud Zayin.